All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. What's up, David?
Oh, I'm sorry. Is Penn there, or is just the stormtroopers today?
These are not the droids you're looking for. This is not the podcast you're looking for.
where'd you get that? He had a clone trooper helmet.
You know, this is a cheap Halloween stormtrooper mask. And it sits in the manager's office at Penn Cinema in Lititz. And every now and then I like to fool around with it. So here we are. I could think of no better occasion than week number 5,742 of the Penn Cinema podcast.
The podcast that never ends.
Sometimes I'm like disappointed. I look and I'm like 84 weeks. It's got to be more than 84 weeks.
I feel like it's gone on forever.
wait, we're still doing this?
Yeah, man.
Oh, snap. Hey, so, I mean, we're running around. That's what we do best.
Yeah.
But the biggest news of the week, I mean, this is terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Chadwick Boseman. Is it Boseman or Bosman? I feel like he hasn't even been, at least on my radar, long enough that, I mean, he was amazing in as Jackie Robinson in 42. And, of course, I mean, everybody knows, everybody has been saying it all week, but his role in the Black Panther is iconic. I mean, that'll be like when you do a highlight reel of the movie industry, whatever period of time you're looking at, whether it's the last 10 years or last 100 years, and you splice together all these little clips of like the most iconic features. Like, I think you include the Black Panther no matter how far back you're looking. And I think that it will be the kind of role, the kind of performance that holds and stands up through the test of time.
Oh, I totally agree. I think that's probably going to be the big role that he's remembered for. However, I don't want to discredit the other things that he's done that has been phenomenal. You know, Jackie Brown and recently he was in some other things as well. I can't remember off the top of my head, but just a phenomenal actor. I didn't even realize he was sick. I hadn't read that anywhere.
Yeah.
I felt like such an idiot when it came out. I said to my friend, I was like, I didn't even know he was sick. And but the way I said it was like, I can't believe they didn't tell me. Like what?
That's so weird. Yeah. They didn't tell you at Sunday dinner when you were over at the house?
Right, exactly.
My family doesn't tell me anything. Like, I'm fully convinced that some of my family is going to die, and I'm going to be like, oh, my God, I can't believe they're dead. And they're going to be like, oh, yeah, they've been sick for years.
it could happen to you. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But on a lighter note, a much higher note, we had some big news this week.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, it's just so nice. Like, I can't begin to tell you how nice it is to be back open for business with new movies. It was cool when we reopened in June or July or whenever that was. I think it was June. It was cool and it was fun, but it wasn't that cool, and nobody came out, and it just kind of was missing. You know, it was cool, but it was missing that something special, the excitement of walking into a movie that you've never seen before. You know, the anticipation of even the New Mutants, which we'll talk about in a little while, but, you know, the excitement of seeing a new movie and talking to each other about, you know, having your opinions about it and sharing that experience and having that common experience. So Penn Cinema reopened all three locations this weekend, as did a lot of theaters. And, I mean, New Mutants is the big number one movie. Unhinged was right there. We had a great weekend. We're having a great weekend as we speak. I'm a little, the only like very slight disappointment from this weekend was this movie that I picked up at the last minute from China called The 800. Did we talk about this last week?
I don't think so. I don't know anything about it.
So last weekend, when a lot of the early theaters opened, August 21st, the headline in all the industry websites was how this movie called The 800 opened over in China and opened to like $121 million. Big, massive opening to rave reviews. And I noticed that a lot of the larger chains, i.e. Regal, was picking it up in America. And I thought to myself, well, they might know something that I don't know, and we all know that how well it did in China, so maybe I'll give this thing a shot. And we're sitting here recording this on Sunday. We have yet to sell a ticket to it.
What? Oh, man.
I'm talking like goose eggs.
Wow.
But, you know, it's funny. Like, that's part of what I love about the movie business. That's part of what I love about being back, you know, being back at it you know, the excitement of the new movies and also complaining about the movies that nobody came to. And, you know what I mean? It's like, it's a lot like rooting for your favorite sports team where, you know, sometimes it's fun to root for them because they're going to the Super Bowl, and other times it's fun to complain about them because, you know, they can't kick a field goal. So it's just, you know, it's all back, and the feedback from customers has been dramatically wonderful, very positive. I've been working a lot this weekend, and I've been telling everybody, welcome back, welcome back. And, you know, consistently everybody's like, oh, it's so great to be back. I'm just happy to be here. So we have a really good vibe going at the Penn Cinema locations, and we're excited to be back. And I think we're just getting warmed up because Tenet opens tomorrow.
Oof.
Yeah. I think that's the first legit, you know, like – here they come.
Watch out.
I tell you an interesting dynamic, and I just wrote an email to Joel Codes because he was having trouble getting a ticket to IMAX. And, you know, because we're in Pennsylvania, we can only sell 25 tickets per show.
Yeah.
So shows are selling out left and right like crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm actively managing it and staying on top of it in the big building where I'm deleting shows and adding in extra seats for, not extra seats, like, but extra auditoriums, you know, for like New Mutants is pretty regularly selling out shows. So I'm adding auditoriums for New Mutants, but I can't do that in IMAX. I mean, it is what it is.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? So I hate it. It's frustrating for us as a business owner, but for customers, if you can get yourself an IMAX ticket, being in a theater with 430 seats and there's going to be 24 other people sitting with you,
yeah,
that's pretty great.
Pretty dope.
That works.
Wow.
So anyway, we're back. We've had a great weekend. It's really exciting to be back, and I think the kids are excited to be back. I know my staff is, and it's great. So we're pretty excited.
Very awesome. Very awesome. It's great to be back in the theaters, man. Let me tell you about something that's bound to bring people back in the theaters. And that's Suicide Squad. 2? Or 1? Or none? I don't know. Is it a remake? Is it a reboot? Is it a continuation? Not quite sure, but last weekend when we were recording the podcast, they were in the process of having DC Fandom, which had a lot of interesting things come out while we were recording, and one of them was a little look into Suicide Squad, which also released the character list. Now, let's see how many of these guys you know who they are. Bloodspot. Tinkerer. Tinker. Tinkerer?
Thinker.
Thinker. Thinker. What's wrong with me? Thinker. Savant. TDK. Blackguard. Polka Dot Man. Ratcatcher 2.
Not to be confused.
Yeah, not to be confused with the Ratcatcher that we all know and love.
Right, right. Or Ratcatcher 3.
Yeah.
Right.
Ugh, no one likes the third one.
No.
King Shark, Peacemaker, Mongol, Javelin, Weasel, Luna, Tyla, Solsoria, and of course, Harley Quinn.
My friend has a dog named Luna.
That's actually the dogs in the movie.
The dogs in the movie. That would probably kick it up a notch. That dog would improve this movie.
All of a sudden, I'm in. Yeah, yeah.
Now, the Dark Knight is in this movie.
So here's the thing. TDK is the only character listed on here who is not a known character.
Okay.
And they think he's actually Arms Fall Off Man, which is a character whose arms can just pop right off, and then he beats people with them.
I can't tell you how many times I'm walking through just daydreaming, wishing.
I could just plop your arm off?
I wish I could just pop these arms right off. It'd be so much more efficient.
Yeah. So TDK is played by, I believe, why can't I think of his name? The guy from Firefly.
Christian Bale?
Yeah, Christian Bale. Yeah. Joel Coates is kicking me right now because I can't remember his name. But he's a great actor. So Arms Fall Off Man would fit him. But anyway, that's a big lineup. And
are you at the point where, because I need you to advise me on things, right? So you let me know when it's time to start caring about this movie. Are you at that point where, does this list do that for you? Does this list give you some excitement for Suicide Squad, or is it still a joke?
The footage that they showed took it up a couple notches for me.
Okay.
I'll be honest. One of the things that I thought was, I liked a lot was Harley Quinn's new costume. Because I really felt like in the other movies, a lot of her stuff pandered to the audience, like clothing-wise. And this just looked more like a legit outfit.
Gotcha.
So, I have hope.
Okay.
I mean, these are one of the big things is these are a lot of people that nobody knows. So there's a lot of people that could die. And that's the whole thing about the Suicide Squad is it's a suicide mission.
Okay. You know what would make this movie even better?
What's that?
If John Carpenter was vaguely involved in some non-committal way.
Oh, please. If only. Is there anything out there like that right now?
As a matter of fact, word on the street is that Blumhouse may be rebooting the thing. And, you know, they make jokes. I'm trying to think of whether or not I've ever found myself in this situation. But they make jokes about how men struggle with, like, commitment, right? Especially like, younger men, mm-hmm. You know. And so the commitment that John Carpenter has made to the thing is revealed in the headline that reads, John Carpenter may or may not be involved in some unknown, non-political, unclear, vague, maybe, way.
And it's funny because he was the one who made the announcement that it's coming to Blumhouse, and he's like, I may be involved. It's like, eh, whatever.
I don't know. I mean, whatever. I guess I'm just making fun of him because it's a funny way because he's so vague about it. But it is his – I mean, it kind of is – I don't want to say it's his baby, but it kind of is. And I guess it does give you some like, all right, if they're going to reboot it and he's going to be involved, then sort of at a fundamental level, like, okay, that does add a little bit of like legitimacy to it, sort of.
Sort of.
All right. Well. Now, the best headline of the year – came out recently, and I got to give credit to JoeBlow.com, one of my favorite websites, for this headline regarding Scary Movie 5. I know everywhere I go, people ask me, what's the deal with Scary Movie 5?
I know movies are coming back, but what's up with Scary Movie 5?
Right.
Yeah.
So here's the headline copied from JoeBlow.com. Paramount just announced that Courtney Cox and David Arquette will be shouting into their cell phones for a fifth time on January 14th, 2022.
What?
So like a little over a year away, but I just love that turn of phrase, how they say they'll be shouting into their cell phones for a fifth time. Nobody cares, whatever. I'll show this movie. We'll open it in January 14th. I love that time slot or that calendar slot for such a dumb movie. Like, I forget what's going to be in theaters in December of 2021, but I love that we're not using up good screens for a throwaway movie like Scary 5. But then in January, like, that's the perfect time to sort of slip something in there, and people would be like, what do you want to see? I don't know. Well, we saw all the good movies. Oh, Scary Movie 5. That's fun. And then we'll go see it.
But I didn't see 4.
Oh, then there's no way you're going to keep up with the plot.
Speaking of plots, Don Coscarelli, he's revealed on Instagram. He's planning a remake of The Beastmaster after reclaiming the copyrights to its original screenplay. Do you remember
his original screenplay?
His original screenplay. Do you remember The Beastmaster?
Mm-mm.
Oh, man.
No.
I remember The Beastmaster. It's horrible, but I remember watching it many, many a times as a kid. So, guy who can talk to animals. But it's like He-Man, but instead of magic, like swords, he just has animals that he talks to.
Do you have a go-to movie if somebody asks you, what's the worst movie you ever saw in a movie theater? Do you have a go-to answer for that? I do.
I feel like I should.
My answer to that question is, on New Year's Eve of, I don't even remember what year, might have been 98. I guess we could look up when the movie was released. But we went and saw Dumb and Dumberer. The sequel to Dumb and Dumber. Dumb and Dumber is great.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great, funny, dumb, but it's a great, funny movie. Well, me being my usual oblivious self, I did not realize that Dumb and Dumberer was not the same cast.
Typical Penn.
Yeah. No, it was totally typical Penn. And I went and sat in the back row at Regal Manor, at Manor, down there on Manor Street, and had a miserable experience. The movie was awful. The theater was packed with obnoxious people. It was awful.
And you remember it to this day, so...
I do. Anyway, Shazam 2, I'm not saying that this is going to be awful, but I do have a comment about this. They revealed the title for Shazam 2, which is Shazam Fury of the Gods. Now, I have to say, I consider myself a casual fan of Shazam. I mean, I liked it. I enjoyed it. I think I told people to go watch it. It was entertaining. And I think you could say that I was looking forward to the sequel. Are you making a joke when you tell me that Shazam 2 is going to star Sinbad?
No.
And how could that possibly be a selling point? I think that's like a turnoff.
No, well, Sinbad is going to star in it. The reason I put this out there is because there's... Are you familiar with the Mandela effect?
Yes.
Right? One of the big pop culture Mandela effects is that Sinbad starred in a movie called Shazam back in the day. But
okay.
He never did. He played a genie, I think, called Shazam, but he never was in a movie Shazam. So people are like, oh, here it comes. It's Sinbad will finally be in a movie called Shazam. But he played some sort of genie character in some movie. I don't remember what it was. But anyway, that's the big news, is that the Mandela effect is coming to life.
I resent the fact that we just spent the last minute talking about this.
Sinbad.
So we're casting a guy because there was this funny... Like, that's a hell of a thing to do, to make a casting decision to satisfy a funny Mandela effect.
Hey, are you telling me that Sinbad's not one of the greatest American actors of all time?
That's exactly what I'm telling you.
What? I guarantee you, if you ask, like, if you walk out that door right now and ask every person you have working at the counter what they think of Sinbad, not a single one of them would know who it was.
Yeah, no, I agree. completely agree.
Yeah.
Right. And the ones who are old enough that will know Sinbad will be like, I thought he died after he made that genie movie. he died from too many genie movies.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So since continuing the Shazam news, Black Adam has casting news. from DC fandom. Adam Smasher will be in the film. These are just the character names because who cares about the rest? And Dwayne The Rock Johnson revealed that he'll be joined by Hawkman, Dr. Fate, and Cyclone to form the Justice Society of America, like the pre-Justice League. So this is like, I don't know how many years, like hundreds of years before the Justice League or something, I think. So,
I mean, that's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see how it turns out, because Black Adam is typically a Shazam villain, so.
Does Black Adam have his own show coming? His own movie coming?
Yeah, his own movie. And he's played by The Rock.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's set to come out in 2022, December, I think. So we'll see if that still holds out.
Do you feel like you have a whole different sense of time?
What is time?
Like you had told me, I guess that's not true. I guess I'm a little more sensitive to it. I feel like we lost a year of our lives. Like,
I feel like a lot of people think that.
I know. That's what I mean. Not just you and me, but all of us. Like, I feel like my sense of time is so different. You know, let's just go randomly 6 months ago, 12 months ago. You and I are sitting here doing the show, and we're talking about a movie that's 18 months away or 24 months away. And it feels to me like ridiculous that we're even talking about it because that's so far away.
Yeah.
And now you're talking about a movie that's a year and a half away, and I'm like, oh, all right, that's like pretty much next week. That's relevant. And it's just wild how like my whole sense of time, everything feels shortened. And I don't know. It's just funny.
Was it 2020 or 2021 that we were making all the jokes about everything was coming out?
I think it was 2020, early 2020, early remember?
20, yeah. And so now all those movies are like, still haven't come around. So
right.
I don't know. Did we jinx it? I can't.
I don't know. I mean, the world's been a mess ever since Tom Brady left New England. So whatever. All right. So speaking of Tom Brady, Disney is once again trying to make a Haunted Mansion movie. You have something you want to say about this?
Oh, that segue was great. Speaking of Tom Brady, I probably would have gone with something the world has never recovered from is the original Haunted Mansion with Eddie Murphy. But I don't know why Disney keeps going for this, but apparently they want to make a multi-movie Haunted Mansion series in vain of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Why not? What's your problem with this?
I guess I don't have any. I just don't see it. Just seems really difficult to do.
Like, your cynical, like, default reply was, why? This is, you know what it is? You cranked out, not even your pinky out, but, like, your fanboy, like, snobbery. You know, you're just so good with, like, the comics and DC and, you know, all, like, the backstory. But you know what it is? You're threatened by the Haunted Mansion because you can't say words like, what's the word that you like? Lore or something? No, it's not canon. It's canon. You can try to say, oh, it's not canon. There's no canon. There's no backstory. There's no ridiculously thick books that people have to read to understand the backstory. There's no room for you to judge what characters are or are not being left out and included in the plot. There's no opportunity for you to assure yourself that you're better than the rest of us. So your natural instinct is to be like, they're making a Haunted Mansion movie, but why?
Yeah, but why?
That's fair enough.
You nailed it.
Here's the thing. All right, fair enough. Okay, first of all, fair enough. Why? Right?
But why?
Why? But I guess to answer that, like, I would go back to Pirates of the Caribbean. Like, the Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Disney World is a joke, or at least it was, you know, back in the day before the movies came out. I haven't been to Disney World anytime recently, but I went on the Disney World ride when I was a kid, and the Pirates of the Caribbean ride is is a lot like Chocolate World. You ever been on the ride in Chocolate World over at Hershey?
Oh, yeah.
You sit in, like, a little boat, and they, like, navigate you through, like, all the cows milking the milk and then pouring in the cocoa, and then at the end you get, like, a Hershey's Kiss or something. That level of excitement is comparable to the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, and yet they turned that incredibly boring ride into this amazing franchise that entertained millions forever. And I feel like, you know, I'm waiting for them to do something. Like, can we hope that this is going to be good?
A lot of hope. I mean, did you see the first one?
That's a stretch.
Yeah. Okay, I get – all right. To clarify on my butt why, it's not why are they making a movie after a ride. It's why are they trying again after such a huge flop?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fair question.
That's my but why. Like, whatever. I mean, you're right. The Pirates of the Caribbean shows that they could do it, but have they?
What's the ride where you go sit in the teacups and it spins around?
I think it's Alice in Wonderland's teacup or something like that. It's Alice in Wonderland.
How about like a teacup ride or a teacup movie?
a movie based on the ride based on a movie.
I picture like a bunch of studio executives walking around Disney World with like a big tub of popcorn. We can make a movie about that ride. We can make a movie about that ride.
What if they made a Dumbo movie?
There you go.
Right? All right. Speaking of Disney, Kelly Marie Tran is set to star in Disney's big animated film, Raya and the Last Drago.
Do we know her?
It's supposed to be Dragon. But, yeah, Kelly Marie Tran, she was in Star Wars. She was the one that got so much backlash online. She quit social media, and then they wrote her character out of the last Star Wars film.
Did you hear what Daisy Ridley is saying?
What's that?
She's saying ever since she did the Star Wars trilogy, she can't get work.
Oh, I think I heard that, yeah. Wow.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I
when you do three you bad
could,
movies.
You could never find this. Why? Why you gotta be like that? I'm trying to have an actual conversation with you, and you just gotta be like that.
I loved a little bit of time delay and then your reaction.
You know, all right, now I gotta just tell you. The other day I felt bad.
Uh-oh.
For just a moment. I'm walking through the booth upstairs and I walk past Star Wars. We have some of the old cutouts and posters, and we got a pretty good collection of Star Wars stuff upstairs. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I really shouldn't make fun of David for hating Star Wars because he doesn't hate Star Wars. And I felt like bad, like just for a moment, but for a moment, right? And now, so I'm trying to like not go down that road, and then you got to like be like that.
I don't hate Star Wars. I just don't like the last two.
Okay, whatever. But can't we say that Daisy Ridley was amazing? Wasn't she the bright spot?
Yeah, she definitely wasn't the reason the movies were bad.
That's what I'm saying. I would watch her in you know, if I read a headline and said, "Oh, Daisy Ridley's coming out, you know, with this new movie," I'd sign up. I'd want to see it. I don't even care what the movie is.
Yeah, I'm honestly really surprised by that news, because she's been in other things and she's great. I mean, well, she was great in Star Wars.
I'd love to know the backstory. Like, I hope, and obviously I have no idea, which you can safely assume, but I hope that she doesn't have some agent or some advisor who's like, you know, putting crazy demands out there, like, oh, she won't do a picture for less than $40 million. Don't you know this is Daisy Ridley? Like, I hope that she's, you know, not sabotaging herself.
Right.
You know who's quietly putting together an incredible career is that Robert Pattinson.
Yeah. Really, though, right?
Right? I did not. Did we know that he was in Tenet?
Well, I think we might have commented on it, but I remember I didn't know till, I don't know, two or three trailers in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not to mention we're going to talk in a minute about the Batman trailer. I mean, I think this guy, and I know he's not new to the scene. He was huge in Twilight and, you know, some others, and we loved him in, what was that Lighthouse movie?
Yeah.
Where we saw him, he was amazing. Anyway, so it's great to see a guy like that be able to be nimble and successful in so many different areas. And you sort of wish the best for Daisy Ridley, that she would be able to sort of follow his lead and you know, have some success beyond Star Wars.
Right. Speaking of following the lead, you broke the news officially about Scream 5.
Right.
Right?
Right. Right. Right here on the Penn Cinema Podcast.
First place anyone's heard it. Right.
Right.
Project X Entertainment, the production company behind Scream 5, has acquired the rights to the Nutty Professor remake. I mean,
me and David are just staring at each other because nobody wants to say anything.
All right, if you had to pick one comedian star to play 12 roles in the next Nutty Professor. Oh, no, that wasn't the Nutty Professor. It was Eddie Murphy, but what movie was it where he played everybody?
All of his crap movies after he stopped being funny.
Yeah, all right. Well, the Nutty Professor. Who's your dream Nutty Professor?
I know this. I don't know. I'm drawing a blank. I can kind of picture him. I don't know. You got one?
No. I don't know who it could be. They'd have to be, like, Paul Rudd could probably do it.
Yeah.
You know, someone who's, like, sweetly innocent, but also goofy.
How about, like, Matthew McConaughey?
All right, all right, all right.
Is he too pretty? Oh, Johnny Depp. He's too old.
He's too old. I feel like there's been some new, like...
Daisy Ridley!
She's looking for work.
I should call her.
You should be a casting director for this movie.
How about, like, Daniel Craig?
You're just like, you're literally looking around the room now at the posters and just pulling the names off of them.
Like, I was hoping one of them would jog my memory because there's an actor who I can picture and who I always enjoy, and I feel like they are so talented. You need, like, a good actor, somebody who's got the chops. Although maybe you don't because it's the Nutty Professor, so who cares?
You're like one of those people who needs to come up with a name really quick, and you just pick things in front of you. Like, if I was like, Mike Water Bottle, yeah, that's my name.
All right, you got anything else to contribute to this train wreck of a news segment?
You ready to hit up trailers? Because we got a ton of them.
Thank God we finally have not only trailers but good trailers.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, probably some of the biggest news of the week.
I can't wait to tell you to find out what your trailer of the week is.
All right. Let's start off with a big boy. We got the Batman trailer.
The Batman. What do you think?
I liked it. One of the things I'm most optimistic about is the villain, is the Riddler. My favorite Batman villain. So I really hope they do him right. I mean, maybe they just cut scenes from Joel Schumacher's Batman Forever and made a movie around it, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think it'd be I have this inferiority complex when I watch a highly anticipated trailer like this, because I loved it. I loved the trailer, but yeah. I'm always curious to know, like, what you thought, you know, what Pirate Dave thought, what, you know,
I love the car.
Encyclopedia Brown. What did EB think of this? What did Joel Codes think of this? You know, what did all our favorite people, did Top 10 Sarah love the Batman trailer? You know, like, but I did, you know, and as an easy critic, I thought it was amazing and just got me even more pumped for a movie that I was already excited for.
I'm not sold on the outfit, but that'll pass.
Yeah.
I really like how they're showing that he keeps the makeup on. You know what I mean? Like, when he takes the mask off, he looks like he's been wearing
right,
eyeshadow and stuff, as opposed to like Michael Keaton, who clearly had black makeup around his eyes, and then they show Catwoman, and then when he rips the mask off, he's like perfectly clean
right
underneath. Yeah.
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 No, I the only Batman outfit that I've ever not liked was Ben Affleck's.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're a big fan of the Clooney bat nipples and butt crack?
Well, do we count Clooney when we're talking seriously about Batman?
I'd never talk about Batman without counting Clooney.
All right, Wonder Woman 1984 got a final trailer. And by the way, let's not gloss over the fact that Wonder Woman 1984 is finally opening. I mean, it's a month away.
Yeah.
Like, we're here.
That's awesome.
It's pretty exciting. I thought the final trailer was awesome, but it didn't do anything for me that I don't know. I mean, it didn't feel like anything new to me. Did it to you?
Well, they did show one big piece of new information.
What's that?
They showed Cheetah in full Cheetah form. That was the big draw to this one. However, I almost wish I didn't know that. Like, I think it was fine.
Yeah.
Looks fine or whatever. But I kind of like that we hadn't known up until now. This final trailer is good. However, last night at the movies, you had one of the first Wonder Woman 1984 trailers in the reel. And both Simba's sister and I were like, this is my favorite one. Like, this trailer is the one that gets me the most pumped for Wonder Woman. So...
Well, we'll have to go up to the booth and check that out because we're supposed to be playing this final trailer.
Oh.
So obviously I dropped the ball on that.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. So embarrassing. Yeah. Let's stay on the big titles.
Okay.
Let's go down to Black Widow.
Yeah. This is a really good one. This is one I saw last night.
I loved this trailer. Yeah. I mean, I think we have an obvious trailer of the week, but this is a close second for me with I just thought it was funny. It was exciting. It showed some of the – it showed to me, like, I mean, nobody's going to say that Black Widow's funny, but it showed some of the wit that originally got me so excited about the Marvel Universe. Some of the wit that you see, it reminded me of Robert Downey Jr. It reminded me of, like, of Iron Man 1, you know?
Yeah, I agree. This had a lot more of the wit in it, and it got me really, really pumped for the movie. November, had the new date, November something, right?
November 6th, yep.
Yeah, I'm totally on board with that. We also had a final trailer for Tenet.
Whew.
Yeah, which I think this suffered in the same way that Wonder Woman suffered for me. Both of them, I felt, shared just a little bit too much about the movie.
Yeah. But it was pretty incredible when he was like, you're not shooting the bullet, you're catching the bullet.
Right.
What?
Right.
Like, I feel like this is going to be, I just am so hyped for this movie, and I feel like it's going to be the kind of movie where I'm totally lost.
Yeah. Reviews for Tenet are all over the board.
Yeah.
So people that I know who have seen it are saying that it's really highbrow science fiction. Some people said it was like almost too highbrow, and then other people are loving it for exactly as... like, you know, I'll use the word heady as exactly as like in your head it gets. So I'm really,
yeah, I'm in that group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Big time.
Yeah.
All right. The last big monster.
Okay.
Your movie, Dune. Now, I was pretty hyped because I got an email with, you know, we're going to have the Dune trailer in front of Tenet and blah, blah, blah. Was this trailer on your movie this weekend when you saw it?
Dune?
Did you see the Dune teaser trailer?
No.
Okay. Have you seen the Dune teaser trailer?
No.
Okay.
I thought it didn't drop until the first.
It does not, but there's a teaser trailer that I thought was the real trailer, and it's pretty awesome. It's going to be in front of Tenet, so we don't need to talk about it since you haven't seen it. But the thing that's a little disappointing about it.
Okay.
Is that you're watching this trailer and you're like, oh my God, this is awesome. This is so cool. Oh my God, Dune. Oh my God. And then it comes across the screen and it says like, first trailer drops September 9th. So then you're like, well, what the hell am I watching?
What? It's a teaser for a trailer?
It's a teaser trailer advertising, the first trailer drops September 9th. But, so first of all, that's weird. But second of all, it's more than a teaser trailer. I mean, remember this teaser trailer for Star Wars? I think it was the very last one. I think it was episode 9, but I might be wrong. Where it just showed Daisy Ridley out in the desert, and then that the spaceship like flies right over her, and she like jumps over it or something like that. To me, that's like that's a teaser trailer. Like it didn't really show you anything, just kind of. But this Dune teaser trailer has like a lot of images, and I mean, you should be the one to judge it, not me. But I feel like it had a lot of content for being a teaser trailer.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I was gonna try and get to see Tenet like right away to like because I was like I want to see this on the big screen, but it's not even the full trailer.
Right.
That's crazy.
I think it's still worth seeing.
Okay.
Especially, I mean, for anybody, but especially for you.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that I think that's what you thought my trailer of the week was gonna be, but I haven't seen it so.
Yeah, that is what I thought your trailer was going to be. My trailer of the week is The Batman, followed closely by Black Widow.
Yeah, I would agree on both accounts.
But we also have 1, 2, 3 small movies, mm-hmm. four small movies, three small movies, four small movies, three and a half.
They're movies.
So we have a movie called Come Play from Focus Features, which is a horror movie and is being billed as the big Halloween movie this year. It comes out in October of 2020. It's from Focus Features. It's a horror movie. It's not my kind of film. If you're into horror movie, you watch the trailer. What I wanted to comment on this, the bad guy, like the horror nightmare guy that haunts you and presumably kills you, his name is Larry.
Yeah, he just wants a friend.
This doesn't work for me. You want to know why?
Why?
I'll tell you why. Larry doesn't work for me because of how much I love Curb Your Enthusiasm. And you tell me the bad guy's name is Larry, and the whole time I'm watching the trailer, I'm thinking of Larry David. And like, how funny like a comedy horror movie would be if the killer ghost was Larry David.
But haven't you ever seen Larry the Cable Guy? I mean, that's basically horror.
Horrible.
I made the jokes.
So then another low-rent horror movie is coming out called 10 Minutes to Midnight. I'm sorry, I don't mean to trash Come Play. It looks good. It looks interesting.
I like the villain design.
Yeah. It's cool. So 10 Minutes to Midnight, I don't know if it's coming out, where it's coming out, theaters, virtual cinemas, I don't know. But I liked the quote. I thought this had one of the best quotes of all the trailers. This woman's night is obviously like off the charts.
Yeah.
She's getting haunted and terrorized by whatever, you know, evil spirits or, you know, whatever. And she's seeing things and she's, you know, just falling apart and there's screaming and there's blood and there's all this kind of stuff. And her coworker at the radio station is trying to calm her down. And he's like, it's just one of those nights. And it sort of cracked me up. Like, we've all been there where you have a night that kind of gets away from you, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like chaos. And it just cracks me up that like this character has like that experience to draw from, where this woman's going through literally a horror movie of a night and he's like, it's just one of those nights. You know?
This movie looks like it was filmed on a cell phone. But okay, so this is what the real thing about this is. All the stuff I saw for it said coming to drive-ins. Like that's the big thing they're pushing. Coming to drive-in. Then when I looked at the actual thing, it said, coming to drive-ins, coming to virtual cinemas. What is that? Do you know what a virtual cinema is?
No.
And then it said, coming to cinema.
Okay.
And then it said, later coming to video on demand. So.
So it's lame. Nobody's going to watch it.
I just don't know what a virtual cinema is.
Yeah. Don't look for it at Penn Cinema.
Okay.
Now, one that you can look for at Penn Cinema from Neon.
Yes.
Looks like an incredible movie. This is a period piece, I think you would say.
Yeah.
And takes place apparently either on an island or on the coast somewhere. And it stars two of my favorites, Kate Winslet and Saoirse Ronan. And there's this great moment, which is so sort of time appropriate for, like, it's such a turn of phrase from, like, the old days. People don't say this anymore. But Saoirse, her character is suffering from depression or something like that. And the guy says she suffers from
melancholy.
And it's so, like, classic.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the look of this film. I really hope it pans out well. It looks really good.
Yeah.
So then we have one final film. And if you want to call this a film, it's called After We Collided. And you know a film has an audience that they're pandering to with when they're really highbrow. And 75% of the movie is just all the scenes where the characters are, like, jumping each other to, like, pop music in the background where there's almost no the story. This person loves this person, but they get with this person, and then here's 100 million images of them jumping each other, and then title.
So, David.
Yeah.
Were you surprised that the New Mutants came out?
Like, Segway.
Did you watch this movie?
Well, there's a part of me that says that I watched it, and there's another part of me that says I'm just punching in a dream and it never happened.
Because I was really hoping that we were going to get to New Mutants and it was going to turn out to be Tenet.
Just like, what movie was it you thought was going to be Avatar?
Right, right. Or maybe this was going to be Avatar.
Oh, my
but
word.
Like, I don't know. So let's get into it. Okay. The New Mutants opened this weekend as the big, and it was. It was the number one movie. It was a lot of people came out to see it. It was certainly number one for us. It was in the IMAX. It was resoundingly slammed by critics, but audiences were more open-minded to it. So if you want to lead us off, and then I'll tell you what I thought.
Okay. New Mutants. Forbes called it the worst X-Men movie of all time, to which Mossy Williams replied and said, better grab your tickets. This sounds amazing. So I thought that was funny. It was not the worst X-Men movie of all time. In fact, I don't even think it was close to the worst X-Men movie of all time. I don't think it was great, but I didn't really think it was bad. I think it was just kind of real middle ground. It felt like, filler is the wrong word, but it felt like an introduction movie, which it was. Like,
yes.
Like these characters yes. were meant to be more, and next time they were going to be more. It has its problems, specifically anytime any of these actors tries to pull an accent off. and some of the world building was pretty trash. That was the, like, after we were talking and we're like, I mean, the most unbelievable thing was that this one woman ran a multi-building facility by herself with four wards. You know, like, they were like, that just doesn't make any sense, but yeah.
Right, right. And sometimes she could be asleep.
Yeah, sometimes she could be asleep, which her powers still work, because she made the force field, so I guess her powers still work even if she's asleep. I don't know.
All right. Well, listen, here, I guess my review is similar to yours.
Okay.
In the sense that I really liked it.
Yeah.
The comment that I made to my friend that I was watching it with was, it was clearly a young adult, or it felt like a young adult. It reminded right. me a little bit of, like, the Twilight, you know, sensibility. And there was a lot of plot holes. There was a lot of leaps of faith. There was a lot of inconsistency. But it felt to me like it was a little bit of a, like, a young adult, superhero / horror movie of sorts. I loved the characters, and ultimately, what makes me think that this is a good movie is, I'm not saying it competes, it doesn't hold up with X-Men or, you know, anything like that, but what makes me think this is a good movie is that when I was after the movie, when I was leaving and thinking about the movie and stuff like that, I was thinking to myself, I wonder where these kids are going to go next. Like I was invested might be too strong of a word, but you know, I really, like you said, it was an introduction movie. I really liked these kids and these characters, and like, I want to see them like go do something. I want to see them. The bad guys are from the Essex Corporation. I'd like to see New Mutants too, where they go take down the Essex Corporation, you know, and really throw down with some actual bad guys.
Well, so a little bit back. So this was, part of the now gone 20th Century Fox mutant universe, right?
Right.
And the Essex Corporation is something they've been building up for several movies. The Essex Corporation is basically Nathaniel Essex is Mr. Sinister, which is a big bad from the X-Men.
Okay.
And he was like in Logan and some of the other X-Men movies. They had stuff in the background about him like basically making Wolverine. And he ran that facility in Logan where they found X-23, and which I think were some of the scenes that we saw in the brain, like what she saw into the other lady's mind. So it would be interesting to see them go against them, although the New Mutants was a Professor X like team. And these were the characters that were on that team. They would have been really cool to have seen them come to the X Mansion and like be like, well, we're not here to join the X Men, but we want to be trained together and be our own like team together. You know, we're younger, and that could have been really cool. I thought that aspect was really neat. Interesting fact: the bear in the movie,
yeah,
in the comics, kills the whole team.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's actually like a legitimate threat from the comic books. One of the things that I kind of love, I loved seeing Lockheed, mm-hmm. but typically Lockheed is a Shadowcat's partner. So I kind of was like, oh, they're kind of using it on magic, but whatever. But I liked it. I did kind of like that Lockheed was there. All in all, this movie was like pretty satisfying for what it is. We won't see a sequel to it. We won't see, I know, shock.
Really? Anything.
Even if they wanted to make a sequel to it, this movie was filmed 4 years ago.
Yeah.
These characters aren't teenagers anymore. Yeah. You know? Yeah. And I don't think they cared, considering Mossy Williams' response.
I didn't cut and paste, and I can't remember it by heart, but the review on JoeBlow.com, which I totally disagreed with, was blistering. they gave it like 3 out of 10, and they made a comment something along the lines of like, they're glad this movie got released so that it can now be buried and left to die.
So do you think that people are coming to see this movie out of the hunger to see a new movie?
Yeah, or, totally.
Or do you think because it was that appealing?
No, I think this movie dramatically benefited from being easy to market during the week before Tenet.
Yeah. So do you think that there is any connection with the fact that this movie was about to come out and flop really hard, and then a world pandemic happened, and then now it's the first movie to come out post-pandemic?
Could be.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Anyway,
just putting that out there.
So we're both on board with New Mutants. It's a good timeout.
Yeah.
Let's move on to some listener notes.
Real quick, I just want to say another new release this weekend was Unhinged, which I have not seen yet. But the audience reaction to Unhinged has been dramatically positive.
Oh, really?
And yeah, and then Jason EB, Encyclopedia Brown, said I think he gave it like 9 or 9.5 out of 10. Like, he loved this movie, and that's totally consistent with, now it's a totally different kind of movie. It's an R-rated straight up action movie. But it's just interesting to me. New Mutants gets all the headlines, for better or for worse. Unhinged quietly comes out there and really satisfies some moviegoers. So I just put that out there as a passing comment.
Interesting. Well, speaking of Encyclopedia Brown, he wrote in and he said he saw this movie No Escape featuring Owen Wilson, the one that you reviewed the trailer for last week.
Yeah, and you know, I just want to say, first of all, thanks for letting us know that, but also, like, you're welcome.
Thanks for
everybody
to
else
attention.
Who hadn't thought about No Escape from, what'd you say it was, 2015?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, nobody wrote in to say, like, hey, that's really great that Penn is, like, bringing back these older movies and putting them on our radar at a time when we're, like, you know, looking for good movies to watch.
Yeah.
So, whatever. I mean, fine. You're welcome.
Yeah. Well, EB also says he's super pumped to be back in the theater and watching movies. So, that's awesome. All right, Joel Coates, and I'm glad I'm reading this post. You're trying to help him get tickets, you know, figure out why he can't get at the theater, because he took some jabs at you.
I don't even know who this is. What are we talking about?
Joel Coates?
Yeah. No, it doesn't ring a bell.
He says, I just finished a book called Dark Matter, not the TV show. And it was really good. It deals with parallel timelines, and the main character is replaced by a version of himself from another timeline. He proves that he's the real one by making his wife ask questions about events. This would never work for Penn, because people would just assume that he forgot. Penn would forever be stuck, replaced by an alternate timeline version of himself.
That's so great. That's so funny, and it's great because I did not have the attention span to read this original email when it came in. So I'm just now hearing it, but it's great. Yeah. I mean, he's exactly right. I mean, he's entirely right. And what's funny about that is Amy often makes the joke, like, you know, like she'll like tell me something nice, you know, that we did together 6 years ago, and I'm like, oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. Oh, we went to Italy together? Oh, that's great. That sounds like a really great joke. And she always makes a joke. Every day is a new adventure when you're Penn.
Well, he also had this to say. He said, I'm starting the Dune audiobook. What's the over-under that I finish before Penn does?
Now I'm back to not remembering who this character is. Who's this guy?
my question is, what's the over-under you finish before he progresses any further into it? That's the question.
Well, over-under presumes that – I think that's the inaccurate. I think he's looking – the phrase that he's looking for is this. What are the odds that I finish it before Penn does? And I don't know, because I feel like – now that Dune is rapidly approaching, barreling down the tracks at us, I am fully committed. I'm fully committed. So, what's up?
I don't know if I can live in a world where you finish Dune at this point.
I saw a trailer for the original Dune.
Ugh.
What year was that? 83?
82.
Yeah. That was a tough year all around.
Yeah.
What would happen if I watched that movie? Is that like the same as reading the book?
Oh my God, no. It's so different, and it's so... I had this conversation with Mike Maville this week, and he's like, I'm not excited for Dune because it's just a remake. And I was like, just a remake? He's like, yeah, you know, they made it before. And I was like, that's like David Lynch's Dune. And this is the analogy that I gave him. I said, David Lynch's Dune is like taking a banana, peeling it, and then taking a hot dookie and putting it in the banana peel and trying to sell it to you as a banana. Like, that's what David Lynch's Dune is.
All right. Well, anyway, Joel Coates, I'm with you. I need to get that book on audio. That's I re-upped my commitment when I watched the teaser trailer. I'm like, damn, I gotta get on this.
Oh boy. All right. Well, let's move on to what are you reading, what are you watching, what are you doing? You had a big week this week with the opening, so
I was super busy and I didn't really watch anything, but I will say that I did finish Perry Mason, the new HBO series.
Okay.
Season one. Did you finish season one?
No.
No. Just don't bother.
Really?
Yeah. I was profoundly disappointed. I think I reported on this podcast about how, like, I was down to the final episode, the season finale,
yeah,
and I was really excited, and I was saving it,
right,
for when I had, you know, a good clear hour to myself and blah blah blah. And Marley Bear was there, and we tuned in and watched the season finale, and from a quality point of view, it was great. I mean, it was brilliant. But there was a lot of storylines that tied up nicely. But the problem is the underlying mystery that he was trying to solve the entire season never really got solved. I mean, it did. Like, we knew the bad guys, and we knew the lady who was accused was innocent and all this kind of stuff. But there was no resolution. There was no loose ends. There was no – it just sort of all of a sudden, like, finished. Like, we never found out who stole the baby out of the grave.
Oh.
There's really? All kinds of things that happened that were never resolved. I don't know. I was annoyed by it. I was so annoyed that I stopped telling people to watch Perry Mason.
Wow.
And then last night, Amy and I watched a movie with Kate Hudson and Matthew McConaughey, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, and it was like eating cotton candy. Like, it was fine. We had a nice time. It was exactly what we wanted. You know, it was incredibly easy and sweet. But, God, what a dumb movie.
Was that guy Perry Mason for you?
Yeah.
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 Wow. So,
what about you?
I didn't do too much watching. I started rewatching Avatar: The Last Airbender, which is amazing. Absolutely phenomenal. It's kind of having a resurgence right now because it was put on to Netflix. They were making a live action, and I think they still are, but the original guys who made it have left the production of that, which has people kind of up in arms. Anyway, if you haven't watched Avatar: The Last Airbender, give it about 5 episodes. The first couple are very much aimed towards children, but then it very quickly moves into more of an all-ages show. I've also been reading the book Gone Tomorrow by Lee Child, which is a Jack Reacher book. So anytime – I read a lot of sci-fi and I read a lot of fantasy, but every time I need a break, I turn – there's like 20-some of these books. I turn to the next Jack Reacher book because it's very much like – it's very much macho, straightforward, military, like drifter type stuff.
Yeah.
And it just kind of down to earth – I don't know. I really enjoy them. Mystery.
Yeah.
So that's about that.
So next week we're watching Tenet.
Oh my word! Can you believe it?
Oh, I'm so excited. And by next week, I mean tomorrow.
I'm so pumped.
Are you going to blow off work and come watch it with me in the morning?
I wish I could. I wish I could.
Oh, I'm so watching it tomorrow morning.
Oh,
I can't wait.
Oh my word. All right. Well, Tenet's going to be big next week. What am I going to have more to say about Tenet or the Dune teaser? Who knows?
I think you're going to have a lot to say about Dune. My money's on Dune.
I'm super pumped for both. So it's a good thing we have a podcast to talk about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be, I can't wait. We're going to have to hustle through the news next week so we can talk about Tenet.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, if you want to be a part of the show, there's two ways.
God, we know you do.
Yeah. We're clearly you want to be a part of the show. Best way to do that is to email us at podcast@penncinema.com. It's the number one way to get in touch with us. We'll clap back at you with some humor if we can. And then the best way you can help the show out is to turn to your right, turn to your left, and just tell a friend, hey, have you heard about the Penn Cinema podcast? It's a pretty big thing. They have over 10,000 downloads. They're a big deal. Say what?
What?
So, yeah, that about wraps us up. Once again, for the Penn Cinema podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm David Moulton.
What?
Take care and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Awesome.
Good.
Yeah. Great. I'm happy.
It's a cut.